Steve, good to be on with you. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, and I hope you and your family are safe and sound and doing well.
Appreciate that. We are, knock on wood. We got a whole house full of 420-year-olds, but we're doing fine. Thank you.
Then you need more than good luck. This has been a day where there's been at least some positive news when it comes to Major League Baseball. We know how it's gone to this point, Carl. What did it mean that somebody had to be the big person in the room, this time being Rob Manfred, who actually physically flew out to Arizona for a face-to-face instead of having a Zoom meeting with Tony Clark?
Yeah. Well, I think your point's well taken. It had to happen. Somebody had to step up and be the adult in the room and recognize, in order for, you know, baseball to come back, that this is what has to happen. We've gone through social media. We've played the where and when game, and that kind of has run its course. So, you know, he did what had to be done. We have to move this forward, otherwise there won't be baseball. I think there were owners that started to say, let's not do this. They're afraid of the coronavirus kicking up. So I think they did get pushed into it, but I think that ultimately he probably would have landed there anyway. People forget about Rob is that he's done this several times before. And part of the reason that we're in this situation is because in his doing in the last labor agreement, you know, they really blasted the players, and I think players are still kind of PO'd about that.
Yeah, that's the 2016 agreement where, in a lot of ways, you feel like they felt steamrolled by how it played out. All right, this has been, for baseball, Major League Baseball, a run where, obviously, these negotiations, you've had a 5-round draft instead of 40. You've had the Astros investigation, then to appoint the Red Sox investigation. And there's the deal with minor league baseball, which affects here because the season was supposed to start here tomorrow in State College.
Right.
This has not been a winning streak. What do you think the perception is of Major League Baseball? Because it seems like everything they've done has not been what you call in the best interest of the fan.
Well, I agree with you. I said during our draft coverage, the idea that we who love the game romanticize it, we really need to shelve those emotions, because this is a business, and it has to do with owners making money, players making money. That's first and foremost the priority for them. It's most important that they put food on their table, and they don't consider the fan. And we want to be considered. You know, we're sitting there with our hands up saying, don't forget about us. Don't forget about us. We're the ones that consume the sport. We're the ones that watch it on television. We're the ones that go to the stadiums. We buy the beer. We buy the popcorn, hot dogs. We buy the shirts and jerseys. And yet we don't have a say. You know, we want to be in the room where it happened, and we're not. And it's a very frustrating feeling for fans. So to answer your direct question, it hasn't been a good time at all for the baseball fan. But we are a resilient group. We love our sport. We haven't yet had a sport really competing against it in the summer. So as a result, we keep going back to it. We have an affinity for the uniform. We have an affinity for the city. We don't always like the players. We don't always like the managers. We more often than not don't like the owners, but we go back. So we're in a sense taken for granted. And, you know, you got people who like to think about, I'll start a fans union and we'll just boycott. Well, that won't work because fans are too passionate about the game. They want to see baseball. So yes, you're right. It doesn't feel like they've grown the game in any way, which is one of the things Rob said that he wanted to do. He's a big friend of Little League, and I know when we were there, he, you know, espouses the virtues of the Little League program in Williamsport. And maybe this is a boost to colleges, and maybe there's a way they can work on a scholarship or something for colleges to grow the game that way. But it has not been, to your point, something that the fans will look back on fondly and say, boy, from about 2017, 18, 19, and certainly 20, we really got the short end. And they'd be right.
So, Carl, obviously you've had a chance to talk with Rob Manfred. I've never been in the same room with him. Does he have a sense and a feel for the game? And I want to go, for example, when they were talking about maybe should the Astros be stripped, he said, you know, he had to walk back the hunk of metal comment. Does he have a feel for this? I mean, I don't mean the negotiating part. I mean for the game of baseball.
I think what he believes he has a feel for, and I do believe he does, is in a sense making it making it more interesting, making it more exciting, which ultimately would draw more dollars. I do think that's ultimately the goal, is how do we get more dollars out of this deal? And I do think he believes that the things he's talking about, while it offends some of the purists, I think he's convinced that these are things that need to happen. I tend to think along with him in many of those cases. So I actually do think he has a feel for that stuff. I think it's probably rubbing purists the wrong way, but I sense that he's pretty sharp with what he's thinking.
I was talking with Dave Sims, who does the Mariners games this afternoon, and Dave said he was talking to Boog Shambi, and Boog was saying, doing some of the KBO games changes your schedule. You've had to do some of those games. What's it been like, A, for the schedule, Carl, and B, what's it been like to try and do a game in a studio and not physically be there?
I wish it was a studio. It's my bedroom.
It's your bedroom.
You know, there's a whole setup in a bedroom suite with a MacBook and a headset and an audio box that allows you to talk to the producer and director and researcher and anybody who, when you need help because the internet goes down, you can scream at them. So, believe it or not, that part hasn't been as terrible as you think. There's anxiety around the idea that maybe the internet goes down or the feed goes down. That's the biggest issue, because it's not as if you can sit there and fix it yourself. I'm not equipped to do that.
Right.
But beyond that, the technical aspect of doing it has not been overly difficult. I can tell you that. So that part of it's been okay. The timing and getting up at 3 a.m. is the bizarre, challenging part. I'm very much looking forward to having Major League Baseball back.
Yeah, no question about it. Because it's interesting, because the other day, my broadcast partner for Penn State football is Jack Ham. And Jack said, have they decided how we're going to do games? I said, well, as of right now, I think they're going to let us in. But it would be very interesting to try and do it from a studio and separate it like that.
I think that's what happened in the beginning. There's no doubt.
Or your bedroom.
Yeah, or your exactly. Which, well, you know, you have privacy. It's quiet there until the dog barks and the wife gets up. You're interrupting everyone else's sleep at 5 a.m. But, again, you know, to the credit of the people behind the scenes, the ability to do things like this is remarkable. And that may be what we're doing for a little while. There's no question about it.
When you've done the Little League World Series, what has that experience been like for you? It's obviously not going to happen this year, but what has that experience been like, and what has that done for your love of baseball?
Well, it is my favorite event, bar none, and I get a chance to cover the Major League World Series and have for 20-something years, and College World Series. Little League's my favorite, and I say it all the time. You know, those kids play because they like baseball. They want to win, but they like baseball. They're playing with their pals. And most of the people that I speak to who are either in college or at the major league level will tell you my favorite time of baseball was when I was a kid playing Little League baseball. There's joy, you know, there's passion, there's fun. There's a business. We're not discussing contracts and stuff like that. So that part of it is fantastic. I love it.
Then I'm going to ask you about your experience in Harrisburg, because when we mentioned that you were going to be on the show, we had a number of comments about your time at Channel 27 in Harrisburg. What was that like for you, and how did that then set you up moving forward?
Well, I was working with a great guy, Greg Mace, who passed away, most people in central Pennsylvania know that. He was a close friend. He was great at what he did. I probably learned more about storytelling there than I have anywhere else, and he was largely responsible for that. You know, you kind of remember what local sports is all about and how important it is, even though I'm doing it on a national level. There are people that play these games, and it's important for them to have their stories told as opposed to just focusing on the garbage that we've been focusing on, the money. Great experience, great people. Really enjoyed that area. Live right on the Harrisburg-Hershey border. You know, and that was a great 3 years. If I had not convinced myself that he was never going to leave, which he never did, I wouldn't have been so anxious to kind of move to the next step. But I knew he was in a great place, and it is a great place, and he wasn't gonna budge. So it was wise to do what I did and try to look elsewhere, because I would have been, in a sense, behind him for the last 26 years.
Right. I've got to ask you about your son, Sam, because he's been able to get into the business. And ironically, Todd Parnell, who was with the Curve, then was here in State College with the Spikes, then took the Richmond job, opened the door for him down there. What kind of experience was it for him, and what did Parney mean to really getting things rolling for him? Because obviously you know him as well.
Yeah, instrumental. Friend before he was boss. Opportunity, hard driver as far as, what's important, recognizing the value of baseball. That was a hell of an experience, and Sam has sort of taken a different route than I did, going from local TV to SportsCenter where you're in a studio. He sort of took the play-by-play route, and, if you're fortunate enough to get a job in a local station doing local games like that in Richmond, which is a great market, it's proven to be incredibly valuable for him, and there's nothing glamorous about it. I mean, some people lose sight of the fact that, radio or local TV or even national, there's a perception, then there's the reality. And, whether it's doing KBO games from your bedroom or working all hours of the night, it's a job most people would love to have, but it's not all glamorous. And local radio in Richmond will remind you of that. And it's a great due you have to pay, and you have to pay that. You can't have expectations that you leave school and you're working at ESPN. It doesn't work that way, and I'm glad that he had that experience, and Parnell's a great guy to learn from.
And you have no idea how many times in the broadcasting class here at Penn State that I've told the students, look, you don't go from here to Bristol, all right? You have to work your way through. And, of course, I get blank stares.
Well, I will say this. I mean, this is a generation where they expect that. They expect access to, the top floor. They expect to be on. That's part of it. But those that learn that's not how it works are going to be way better off.
There's no question. What kind of adjustment was it? Baseball Tonight was such a great, great franchise for ESPN for such a long time. You've done a lot more play-by-play of late. What was the biggest adjustment, Carl?
Well, I try to minimize the adjustment because I took the philosophy that I had during the show, which was to sort of be a floor leader, involve everybody that was on that set. I took that right into the booth calling the games, with whether it be Eduardo and Tim or Peterson and Chris Burke, whoever it is that it becomes more of a conversation. So that part of the transition wasn't that bad. I mean, clearly traveling and all that is the biggest difference, but it's the same format. I'm into that conversation, and it has served me well, I think, as a play-by-play guy versus the straight play-by-play stuff.
What about when you're doing college basketball?
Same deal. I mean, I know that, working with Jimmy Dykes, I encourage people to come out of their shells a little bit. Be personable. Be human. Be authentic. Really an important part of this, and I think some people try to be someone they're not. I know, Jimmy's got a good sense of humor. We learned during one game at Vanderbilt during a blowout that he once cut a song, and we went, our audio guys, and found the song, and that basically became the entire second half of a blowout game, and it was the most memorable game we did in the entire year. So it's important to tap into the people, the analysts you're working with, get their personalities to come out. Don't make it about yourself. Really make it about them and make it about the game.
And that's because obviously I work with two great guys, Jack Ham and then Dick Girardi, for years with the Daily News. People want to hear what they have to say. And I think that's the most important part. If you're working with people that you realize that people want to hear what they want to say, give them room 100%. To operate.
100%. They're there because they played. And now you got to get them to talk about their experiences, because that's what makes, your broadcast unique, what they did when they were playing. And they need to share that with people. You got to put the person in the uniform, on the sideline, in the huddle. You and I can't do that, but the people we work with can, and that's our job to make sure we can get it out of them.
No question. Now I'm just going to bring it back full circle to the final question. Say it ends up being 60 to 65 games. It seems like the number that they're talking about right now, with an expanded playoff. Do you feel like that is enough? We're both such huge baseball people. You feel like that's enough to satisfy, considering the situation we're all in right now?
Well, remember, you're talking to a guy who, would just as soon see Major League games be 7 innings long. I think there's a way to make these games more exciting. I think if we play 60 games and we have an expanded postseason, it will be the most memorable season we've had, short of the city that has celebrated the World Series, meaning the Red Sox, the Giants recently that have won World Series, the Astros. Yeah. I think it will be the most memorable season we've had in the last 20 years, because it will be different, and I encourage different.
And in fact, I go back to the NHL from a couple of years ago. They came out of the lockout, played 48 games. That may have been some of the best hockey I've watched.
And without question, you and I, that's how I think.
Yep. Carl, absolute pleasure. Appreciate it. Just great, great respect for your work.
I appreciate that. Let's do this again. Thank you very much for having me on. I really do appreciate it.